Welcome to Explore Riverside Weekly, the show that explores all the things that makes the City of Arts and Innovation a great place to live, work, and play. I'm Greg Lee, and today's guest has over 30 years of public service experience. He started his law enforcement career with the Santa Clara County Sheriff Department. He also worked for the Fountain Valley Police Department, where he worked his way through various assignments and promotions. In 2008, he retired at the rank of lieutenant. This past June, our guest was elected to serve as a council member for Ward 6, which includes the neighborhoods of Arlanza, Arlington, La Sierra South, Ramona, and the Tyler Shopping District. He is a 23-year resident of Riverside and can be found early in the a.m. jogging through his ward. It is early, or you're an afternoon jogger.
I'm a morning jogger.
We welcome to the show newly elected Ward 6 Councilman Jim Perry. Welcome to the show, Councilman.
Thank you for having me.
So give us a little insight. I'm always curious to know why people run for local office and the headaches that might come along with that. So what are some of the reasons that you wanted to run for local office?
There's several. And actually, my interest in politics started a long time ago. It actually started as a high school extra credit assignment. Back in 1972, I was a freshman in high school. I had a history class, and my history teacher said, and it was also a presidential year. So my teacher at the time said, anyone who would want to go out and work on a presidential election, since they only come around every 4 years, he would provide extra credit. That's what I did. That's what got me exposed to politics. I worked for the George McGovern campaign. I grew up in San Jose, California. My parents drove me down to the headquarters a couple nights during the course of the week. I worked there on weekends, and that sparked my curiosity and interest in politics. I watched conventions, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, every 4 years thereafter. Eventually worked on campaigns, got involved in a couple different organizations, and from that point on, I knew at some point in my lifetime I would run for political office. I retired in 2008. Started hanging around city council meetings, became a regular.
You had nothing better to do, right?
Had nothing better to do, and it stemmed back to that interest in politics at an early age. I knew at some point Nancy Hart would retire. I got to know Nancy, got involved in several different organizations within the city, started actually planning my city council race about 2 years ago, thinking if Nancy was going to retire, I would be well prepared to run in at that time. If she chose to run again, I would sit on the sidelines and wait for her to retire, yes.
And so do you remember the high school teacher that gave you that assignment?
Alex Gomez.
And I won't say that I was born in 1972, but we'll just go on to the next question. So you mentioned, or I mentioned earlier, that you retired as in law enforcement. Your
yes.
background is law enforcement. How do you think that experience will help you during your tenure as councilperson?
I think the benefit it provides is working in law enforcement, every day there's a new challenge. I look at politics and government in the same manner. You do have some things that are planned, but there's always things that come up. You always got to plan for the unexpected. There are jobs and assignments within law enforcement that require long-term planning. It requires working as a team. It requires building a consensus. We get far more done and accomplished when we work together, work as a team, work on getting things accomplished as a group as opposed as an individual. Now, there are times when you do things as an individual, but when you're looking for long-term goals for an organization, it requires a team of people. It requires building a consensus to reach our goals and to be as highly successful as we can.
Now, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, and you're very calculated. In hearing you talk about your background and wanting to go into politics, and it seemed to be reflected by the fact that you won your ward by a very wide margin. What do you attribute to this?
Again, it goes back. I had a goal. I had a plan. We started focusing on this about 2 years ago. Very fortunate to have not only myself, but I had a very dedicated team, campaign staff, and volunteers who worked for me. We had a plan. We were organized. And I knew with it being an open race that we would attract as many as a half a dozen competitors. I also knew, and though a year ago I didn't know how many people would enter in the race or how organized or how big their campaigns would be, but I was convinced. I was convinced that I could out-hustle any of the other candidates who entered this race. We also, like I said, we had a plan. We were organized. We also were running on the fact that we were going to run a positive campaign. I went out, I'll say I and we went out and gave people a reason to vote for me. The one thing we didn't do, and I think this is refreshing, we went out and gave people a reason why to vote for me, as opposed to going out and telling people why they should not vote for one of my opponents.
Which is what you see in politics a lot of times, and not specific to local politics, but politics overall. It's more so what is my opponent doing wrong versus what I plan to do and what I plan to do right.
We focused, all our energies were focused on us. We kept having people, one of the things that we were told throughout this race, especially the last 6 months, is there's so many candidates in this race, there's going to be a runoff.
Right.
The one thing we never did, the word that was never in our vocabulary was runoff. We stayed motivated the entire time. As the candidates grew, we said, okay, that gives us motivation to go out and work that much harder. We also had a very poor ballot selection. I was right out of the six candidates, I was number four on the ballot. Mm. And people said, well, you're number four on the ballot. Again, I said, we'll use that to motivate ourselves and work that much harder so we will win. Another interesting point that came out during the campaign was I did not receive the endorsement of the Press Enterprise. I think fortunately for my opponent, somebody else got that endorsement. Unfortunately for them, it motivated us again to work that much harder to go out and convince people to vote for me.
But you did get the endorsement of Nancy Hart, which was critical, correct?
Yes, I did.
So you talked about during your campaign, you had what was called a Perry plan. What was the Perry plan?
The Perry plan is broken down into four different components. One is to provide an energetic, proactive form of representation, meaning going out, listening to the people, putting value to their concerns, and using it for the betterment of the entire community. It's being out, being active, involved, knowing the community, interacting with the community on a regular basis. Number two is preserving our neighborhoods, meaning that they need to be clean, they need to be safe, they need to be well-maintained with not only responsive, but proactive city services. And one of the terms I used throughout this campaign was being proactive. And that's what I bring, that's what one of the benefits I bring from my law enforcement career. The agencies I work for, we were very proactive. We never looked at something and said, gee, we can't do it for this reason. We looked at reasons why we could accomplish things as opposed to why we cannot. Being responsive to the needs of our community. Third, and something I think the city has done a great job is the Economic Development Action Plan. I've been a supporter of that since the time I've heard it. Seizing Our Destiny falls into that as well. We need jobs in this community. We need to recruit, we need to expand, and we need to retain our businesses. At the same time as we're doing that, and as we're bringing business into this, if we can't get into the city, we need to get it into this region. We need jobs that provide the proper training and career development opportunities for our residents and their employees, because I think that makes it a win-win situation. Another component of that is we have thousands, we have a workforce that leaves this city and region on a daily basis by the thousands, and they go into work into Orange, LA, San Diego counties. I think we have a very well-qualified workforce there, and as we're developing or bringing jobs and companies into the Riverside area and region, we need to know what kind of jobs that they're driving, that they are commuting to. So if we want to improve their quality of life, if we can get them off that monster of the 91 freeway, we can improve their quality of life if we can save them 2, maybe 3 hours a day on their commute. I personally know what that commute's like. I did it for over 22 years, and I fully understand, gee, if I could have knocked that commute down to a half hour, 45 minutes, it would have been a lifetime.
How long was your commute?
It was 40 miles. But depending on the time of day, it could take as long as 3 hours, oh, especially wow. Coming home in the afternoons.
On a Friday, especially a Friday
on a
before
Friday.
A holiday.
And you throw an accident or you throw a fire into the canyon, you don't know when you're going to get home.
Now, what I'm enjoying hearing from you is region. You're not just saying Riverside, you're saying region. So your view is if jobs come to the region, they don't necessarily, we prefer them to be in Riverside, but if they come to the region, it still benefits all of us because they're getting off the road and not having to travel as much. Businesses don't care about borders so much.
Correct.
You seem like that's sort of your philosophy is more regional than just focusing on Riverside.
Riverside would be the first choice. If we can't get them into Riverside, let's get them into the region where they're close by and the dollars that they're spending are helping all of us. Another component to the Economic Development Action Plan that we need to be looking at is that we need to make the Ontario Airport a fully functional airport for this entire region. And I think that fits well into our plan for the Economic Development Action Plan. People want to come to where they can get in and out of, especially when we're recruiting them. We want to get them in and out of here at their convenience and something that is convenient, and they're not having to drive an hour or two into LA County to LAX or John Wayne Airport. The other component of the Perry Plan is education. We need to enhance the relationship between the Alfred, the Riverside Unified, and our local college districts. I think everybody's doing a great job, but I think those relationships can be enhanced, because what we need to do is we need to work together. I think the schools know what's going on within their realm of responsibility. We in the city have a pretty good idea, hopefully, what's going on in our neighborhoods. But I think if we combine our efforts, we can do a couple different things. One, we can once again improve our neighborhoods. Hopefully, we can find out what problems are occurring between school and home, which is something we can both work on. And I think what all of that leads to is ultimately improving our children's education. They're the leaders of tomorrow. We have to do everything in our power to ensure that our children and our students reach their full potential. And basically what all of that does, it all comes down to quality of life issues. And that's what local government should be concentrating on. The more we can improve the quality of life for everyone, the more successful I think all of us become.
Well, you've given us the list of a lot of items. I've got to take a short commercial break here. I want to come back. I want to talk more about some of your top priorities. So we're going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with newly elected Ward 6 Councilman Jim Perry.
An important message about summer electric use from Riverside Public Utilities. It's summertime in Southern California, and the heat is on, so Riverside Public Utilities has an important message. Riverside Public Utilities is asking customers and all Southern Californians to partner with their electric utility company by helping them to save energy. Southern California receives its power from many sources, but in the summer months, when temperatures can reach extreme levels, it presents a big challenge to utility companies to provide sufficient power to its customers. When temperatures rise, so does energy use. That's why it's even more important to be a power partner working together to save energy. In Riverside, we are fortunate to have reliable power sources for our customer-owned utility, Riverside Public Utilities. For more information on being a power partner, visit Riverside Public Utilities' website at riversidepublicutilities.com. Riverside Public Utilities. Water. Energy. Life.
AM 590. The Answer.
Hello, and welcome back to Explore Riverside Weekly. I'm Greg Lee, and we are talking with my guest, Ward 6 Councilman Jim Perry. So, Councilman Perry, we just went over the Perry Plan. There are a lot of items that you talked about. So what are some of your top priorities for your ward?
Top priorities is, one, representation. People need to feel that they have a representative that they know, who they can trust, and who they can go to with their issues. Want to make sure that Ward 6 has its fair share of projects that occur within the city. We have the Camp Anza project that's going to be coming up shortly. That's an opportunity where we can take the actual Camp Anza in the middle of our Lanza. It's a rehabilitation center for our injured military veterans, and also has an opportunity for some housing on grounds for their family members to live there as well. Another big issue we have within Ward 6 is the condition of our streets and sidewalks. And luckily, some of those repairs and resurfacing are going on. That was the major issue that I heard throughout the campaign, probably 10 to 1 of anything else, was the conditions of our streets. I've met with Public Works. I've seen the schedule. And work is happening as I speak right now.
And you talk about representation and making sure that your constituents feel as if they're represented well. How do you go about doing that? Is that going back to sort of your campaign and how you, as you said, hustled to get out and talk with them?
It's the energetic and proactive approach. It's staying in tune with them. It's being seen in the community. One of the things I'll be doing on a regular basis is putting an email newsletter out to help keep them informed. It's interacting with associations, homeowner associations, neighborhood watch groups, And from time to time, and one of the things I'll be doing tomorrow is actually be walking some of our business districts, strip malls, one, introducing myself as the new representative, and two, also educating them about the End Homeless program that's taking place here in Riverside, and trying to get some buy-in from them on perhaps putting the End Homeless posters up in their business windows.
Can you talk a little about that program now?
Yes, it's a five-year plan that the city's undertaken. It's giving alternatives to homeless. It's for the prevention of panhandling. I think the city's done a great job. We have the Hewland Center that provides basic necessities for the homeless. It provides medical care, some medical care. It provides some mental health therapy, so to speak. There's an opportunity for them to have something to eat, to get a change of clothes. There's computers there for them to use. There are people there that will assist them in writing a resume and a little bit of outreach in finding a job.
So then you tell the businesses this so they know who to reach out to and say, if there's a homeless issue, they can contact a certain number and these are the services that would be available to them?
We will provide referral numbers to them. Part of this campaign is the prevention of panhandling, which would be great and would end up a problem that's throughout the city and region, almost everywhere, so to speak. And the message we want to give here in Riverside, that if you want to give to the homeless, instead of giving a couple dollars to the person standing on the roadside holding a sign, you can actually send money to the End Homeless program and put it towards the use of people who one are in need of it and as a sponsored project put on by our city.
Now, obviously, you know, before you became councilman, you had some ideas about how city operated from what you saw. Now that you're on the other side of the dais, do you sit back and say, wow, I didn't know this, or this is much different than I expected?
I wouldn't say it was something. I haven't been totally surprised. What I wasn't probably totally prepared for, I concentrated so heavily on getting myself elected that I never gave any thought to that period of time that from election day to the day I take office. Mm-hmm. There was about a 2-week period there. And that was something that I didn't give a lot thought to. I thought about getting myself elected. I thought about what would happen once I took office. But there was kind of this transition period where you're getting hit for information on how you want your name printed on things, how do you want your name written on documents, everything from offices, orientations with department heads.
Right.
So it was a very busy 2 weeks. I'm a little surprised. I knew there was a lot of reading that would go along with it. It's a little heavier than I expected, but it's not an issue by any means.
So it was really just the mundane stuff of, you know, starting a new job and having your business cards printed and meeting who your employees are and who you're going to work with.
Right. And because one of the things I did to prepare myself, and this is what I think worked to my benefit, is for the last 4 years, I was at a majority of the evening city council meetings. I attended a ton of the subcommittee meetings. I went to other community meetings, and that prepared me very well for this step.
So it's funny because I enjoy talking with new council people because they have fresh insight on City Hall. What else in terms of insight do you have now that you're a council person?
There's a responsibility. There's a huge responsibility of not only knowing the issue, but looking at the issue from several different dimensions and angles. So when it comes to voting on items that come before the city council, knowing that regardless of how I voted, I've made a very well-informed decision because I've researched the facts, looked into the matter. So when I do vote, I'm comfortable with my vote.
Now, what advice would you give for any of our listeners considering entering into public office?
Be prepared to dedicate yourself to the endeavor you're about to jump into. It requires a great deal of time. If there is a wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, they have to buy into this as well. This is a family event. Between January and June, basically our lives was an amount to everything we did was campaigning. We took Mother's Day off, we took Easter off, and unfortunately I got sick for 3 days in there. Outside of those 5 days, we were constantly campaigning.
And you were married, kids?
I am married. My wife, Kathy, and I will be married 34 years next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have 2 adult children. We have 5 grandchildren, including a set of twins.
And all of them are employed on the during the campaign trail to help out, right?
Yes, they were.
So now let's look at your ward. And as I mentioned earlier, it includes the areas of Arlanza, Arlington, La Sierra, and the Tyler Shopping District. For those out there that lived in Riverside for a while, some call it the Tyler Mall, and new folks call it the Gallery at Tyler. So what do you see as some of the opportunities of having such a diverse ward?
I like the diverse ward because it's made up of low and middle class families. These are hardworking families who go to work every day to make money and put food on the table, and they want the best for their families for both quality of life and educational purposes. There's a whole wide array of people and issues within Ward 6.
Right.
We're very fortunate to have the Tyler Mall or the Galleria Tyler. I still call it the Tyler Mall. We're very fortunate to have that in Ward 6 because that's the premier shopping center in this region, and it needs to remain the number one shopping center. One of the things I think we need to look at is some of the older strip malls we have, working with owners and rejuvenating those centers. So again, as we want companies to come to Riverside or relocate, we have a good location for them to go, and a place where they want to open business, and a place where Ward 6 residents and people in the city and region want to come to spend their money.
Now, earlier you talked about some of the issues from your constituents when you were running were the streets. From the commercial side of things, from the business owners, what were some of their issues that they talked about with you or may have mentioned?
A combination between citizens and business owners was recognition. They felt that they lived on the west side of town. They felt that they deserved or wanted more attention paid to them. Sometimes there's such an emphasis, and we must have a thriving downtown. But there's sometimes people who live out on the west side kind of look and say, gee, our streets, our neighborhoods, they don't look like the rest of the city. So part of that is working with them, having them understand what the city plan is, understand what our goals are, and working together to help bring recognition to Ward 6.
So it seems like the further away you get from City Hall, so the less people feel either not recognized or maybe not as informed.
Yes.
Now, before we go, I want to give you an opportunity. Well, let's talk about how people can reach out to you. I know that you have a Facebook page, and they can just look up Jim Perry.
Facebook, we're actually going to be taking down. I'm still on Twitter.
Okay.
It's at Jim Perry 16.
At Jim Perry 16?
Yes.
Okay.
I will remain on Twitter. Facebook will probably remain up for a little bit longer. Facebook requires somebody to look at it constantly. I have my email, jperry@riversideca.gov. I am also very fortunate to have a legislative field representative by the name of Diana Medina, who I think is going to make an outstanding assistant to me. She could also be reached through City Hall, and her email address is dmedina@riversideca.gov.
So Twitter, @JimPerry16. And then jperry@riversideca.gov. And then your legislative assistant is Diana Medina, and she can be reached at dmedina@riversideca.gov. I should know that address because I have the same email address as well. Well, before I let you go, any last comments?
I look forward to the next 4 years. I look forward to working with my colleagues. I look forward to working with staff. I look forward to working with the residents of Riverside and the residents of Ward 6 to improve the quality of life, to make Riverside the best city it can be.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. We appreciate you running for Ward 6. Congratulations on that victory. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Explore Riverside Weekly. I want to thank Ward 6 Councilman Jim Perry for joining us on today's show. Make sure you tune to Explore Riverside Weekly every Saturday afternoon at 2:30 p.m., brought to you by the City of Riverside. You can also visit us on the web at exploreriverside.com. And now you can download the podcast on iTunes. So just head on over to iTunes, search for Explore Riverside Weekly, and you can download it there.